Good evening, Saints. As I was preparing my lesson and thinking what I want to talk about tonight, I got to thinking, you know, about spirituality and walking in the Spirit and the difference between being carnal-minded and being spiritual-minded. And when you sit back and you think about it, that is, you can't straddle the fence between the two. Either you're going to be spiritual or you're going to be carnal. And it reminds me of when I was reading the book of Genesis, and I was reading about Adam and Eve. And you can see that from the very beginning that mankind have struggled with spirituality and carnality. And it seems that as time has progressed, even from Adam and Eve all the way until today, that man has become more and more carnal. We are addicted to the flesh and addicted to a carnal lifestyle. You know, it reminds me of when I was growing up in the inner city of New Jersey. And you know, I lived in a working class, middle class neighborhood. And I can remember the year, 1986, when the crack epidemic hit my community. And I've seen a whole neighborhood just go down in a matter of a couple years. And, you know, not only just friends and friends were affected, but my family was, where I had family members that was addicted to the drug crack. And one day I asked my uncle, you know, I asked him why, you know, why did your life change so much? How did you let it get this way? And he told me that, you know, when it comes to doing this drug, that once you take that first hit, the high is so strong, you're just so addicted to it, each and every time you're chasing that high, not achieving that high. And that's the hook. And that's the thing with being carnal-minded and living, you know, by the flesh, is that, you know, we struggle with fleshly desires. We struggle with living by in the flesh because of that high, right, that good sensation that we get. But God calls us to be spiritual. So turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and these passages was read in your hearing, so I'm not going to go over each and every passage, but it's something that I want to highlight about being born in the Spirit, and not only being born in the Spirit, but also living by the Spirit, and how that a spiritual person should act, and how a spiritual person should live, because God is a Spirit. And the thing is that when us as Christians, we are spiritual people. That is what separates us from the world. And everything that we do when it comes to God is spiritual. Whether it's worship, is spiritual, right? The way that we conduct our lifestyle is spiritual. We separate ourselves from the world. But in John chapter 3, when we talk about this is a famous passage in the Bible. Everybody knows pretty much that in this passage in the Bible in John chapter 3 is the situation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And I'm going to start my reading verse number 1. And there was a man, a Pharisee, by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So we see that Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was from God by the things that Jesus did. And if you actually read these passages, about 3 or 4 passages before that, we see that in John chapter 2 and verse number 23 and 24, that Jesus is doing miracles. And this is what Nicodemus is referring to. He's seen Jesus perform miracles. He's seen Jesus do certain things. The question tonight is that, what about you? Do people see Jesus living in you? Did Jesus work a miracle in you? Right? We know that Nicodemus came to Jesus because he's seen something. He's seen something that Jesus did. Do the world, do the carnal world, do this fleshly world that we live in, do they see us that way? Do we live different? Do we look different? Do we conduct ourselves different? See, that's the thing that God is asking us to do, right? We need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to be spiritual minded. We need to be not carnal minded. We need to mind the things that are in heaven and not the things of this earth. Let's continue to read. And listen to this here. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, if you actually pay attention to the scriptures, Jesus is actually reading Nicodemus' mind. Right. He knows what Nicodemus is thinking. And Nicodemus is pretty much, and one of the things that the Jews always did is that they always relied on their connection to Abraham. Right. The flesh. Right. They always relied on their connection to Abraham. And Jesus knows this. So Jesus tells him what he needs to do to enter into the kingdom. All right. So Jesus tells him what he needs to do to enter into the kingdom. And you know, just a little side note, I noticed that when a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody about the gospel, the first thing they always do, right? When you're talking to somebody about the Bible and what's right and what's wrong, and if somebody is in from a certain denomination and you tell them what the Bible say, the first thing they do is what? Go back to their family. What about my mom? What about my dad? Are you saying my mom and dad is a lie? What about my family? Right. So we see that it's the same as what Nicodemus, what Jesus was telling Nicodemus and what Nicodemus relying on. Nicodemus were relying on his relationship, his family ties to Abraham. Not only that, turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, over the next chapter. And these passages was read in your hearing as well. So I'm going to drop down to verse number 19. In verse number 19, the woman at the well is talking to Jesus, and Jesus told her that she's had five husbands, and that the one that's with her is not her husband, right? So the lady says in verse 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now look at the next thing she asks him. "Our fathers worship in the mountain. Ye say that you in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Again, what did she do? She went back to family. Right. She went back to our fathers. See, this is the thing when you're talking to people about the gospel. And this is the thing that I struggle with within my own family. I mean, I struggle with this mightily. My mother struggles with it mightily, is that every time I point out something true about the Bible, they always go back to the family. They always go back to that carnal thinking. What about my mom? Well, my mom, are you telling me my mom is not a Christian? Or are you telling my papa is not a Christian? Or are you telling my grandmother's not a Christian? See, we see that when it comes to spiritual matters and when it comes to carnal matters, that we have to stand on the word of God. See, that is the thing that separates us. And I noticed that a lot of times that when I'm around, my family acts different. They act different towards me. They don't act the same way they used to act. You know, I see that they straighten up and you know, they don't do certain things around me, and I don't mind it. It actually is a badge of honor. You know, maybe they see the spiritual side of me. But the thing is that when it comes to spiritual matters in your life, do people see it in you? Do your friends and family see spiritual things in you? Now, let's go back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. Now, Jesus is going to continue his conversation with Nicodemus, and he's going to pretty much tell Nicodemus in verse number 4. We're going to start with verse number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee that ye must be born again." See, Jesus, what's happening here is that Jesus is telling him spiritual things, right? He's telling them spiritual things. He's telling them that in order to be born again, that you have to be born of the water and of the spirit. And notice that Nicodemus answered. Nicodemus, now he's a Pharisee. right? He's a religious person, right? But he still doesn't understand it. My, things haven't changed today. You know, I got cousins that think they're elders, that's not even married. I got family members, women who think they're preachers. I got people in my family that call themselves apostles. Yes. And when I tell them spiritual things, you know, that they have either they don't accept it, or they just try to shut down the argument. Again, what separates us is that we should be living by spiritual things, not fleshly things, not carnal thinking. Our worship is different. You know, I remember a time that when I, several years ago, and some of you were here at the time when my family, a whole group of them came to my retirement. And I came and I delivered the message. And when I got back in the van and I was driving home, you could hear a pin drop. They didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know. My uncle kept asking me, how did you know so many scriptures? How do you put the scriptures together that way? The reason why is because they're living a carnal life. They're going to worship service that preach about carnal things. Do you know what they teach in these denominations? They teach you how to live carnally in this world, that your life is going to be better in this world. God has got something, a blessing for you, and it's coming. It's coming your way. Your time is coming. Your season is coming. These are the things that's being taught. They're being taught carnality. See, when we worship God, we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're supposed to speak spiritual things. So don't marvel when you're speaking to people, right? And they don't, and they give you that blank look on their face. The reason why is because you should be speaking spiritual things. In John chapter 3, Jesus is telling us, right, how we are born again, right? It starts with the Spirit. See, the Spirit is the thing that leads us to Christ. The Spirit is the thing that tells us how to be born again. And if you're not speaking, what Spirit am I speaking of? I'm speaking about the Word of God. You see, the Word of God that we go and we door knock and we use is the same Word that is going to cause people to be born again. That's why it's important for us to go door knock. That's why it's important for us to go spread the word. That's why it's important for us to teach. Because the Spirit from the Word of God is what leads people to be born again. And each and every one of us who call ourselves Christians in this room have been born again. And our mission is to go out into the world using these words, the Spirit's words, and show and tell people how to be born again. But once you've been born again, right, now you have to mature. Turn with me to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, sadly, you know, and I'm going to get to verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Sadly, this is where a lot of Christians stay at, right? This is where a lot of Christians stay at. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." See, this is where we get stuck, right? Because the milk is there for us to grow, not just for us to drink all the time. Too many times we got too many Christians that are still on the milk. Been a Christian for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, still desiring the milk. See, this is where we get stuck at. A lot of times we get comfortable. We get comfortable with where we at. Oh, I obey the gospel. Okay, check. I'm good. And we get stuck at being just called Christians and not growing. That is what's plaguing the Lord's church all over the world. If you look around today, you should see familiar faces. The same old people. And I love seeing each one of y'all faces. But it's the same. Evening service, what do you see? You already know where people is going to sit. You know where they're going to be. You know, I can close my eyes and I can point to who's going to be where. And that's sad. That's sad that I can do that. Why? Because we got people that are still on the milk. How in the world are you going to grow if you don't come? And it just amazes me that when it comes to Bible class, Wednesday Bible class, and even Sunday morning Bible class, unless I'm learning wrong, how in the world are you learning when you come and you just hear the preacher on Sunday morning, but not come to Bible class before? See, Brother Obed is preparing us when he teaches Bible class on Sunday morning for the lesson. And maybe I'm just a slow reader or I'm slow at comprehending, but I need that Bible class. And too many times we have Christians, right, that would come just to worship, checklist, and that's it. See, again, what is that? What is that producing? People still on the milk. They don't grow. And Christ is asking us and telling us that we ought to grow. Because if we don't grow, the church is hampered. Where's my generation? Think about that. I'm 50 years old. Where are all the 40 and 50 year olds in this congregation? Now, I'm sorry if it seems like that you know, I'm coming off the wrong way, but I'm passionate about this. Me and Brother Obed, we bang our heads together trying to figure out how can we reach people? What do we need to say? What do we need to do to show them that we ought to grow spiritually? God is wanting us to grow spiritually, not to be stuck on the milk. Because how are you going to teach your family? How are you going to teach your friends, your coworkers, if you're still on the milk? What's going to happen is that they're going to clean your clock. See, it's important for us to grow, not only to be stuck on the milk. Turn with me. And the passage talks about this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with the milk and not with meat, for hitherto that ye were not able to bear it, neither were you able, are yet now able. So Paul is telling us, right? That he has to feed them with milk. They weren't even ready for meat. If you are a new Christian, you should be attending Brother Teasley's new convert class. Learn the elements, the basic elements of being a Christian. How are you going to tell people to be a Christian if you don't know and can't explain yourself? How can you be something you don't even know and you can't explain? So it's important for us to grow. It's important for us to be spiritual, but we can't be spiritual if we're still stuck on the milk. So we have to grow. Now, if we do grow, it should show in our behavior, in the way we act, in the way we conduct ourselves. Turn with me to Colossians. It's Colossians. See, that's one thing I love about the Bible, it tells you things and then it tells you how to do it. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. And, you know, when I marked my Bible and I said these are spiritual markers of a Christian. In verse number 1, it says, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. See, the reason why people are stuck on the milk and still carnal is because they are focused on spiritual, not spiritual, but earthly things. that the earthly things hindered them. Whether when it comes to worship, hey, well, you know, I think I'm going to stay home and watch the football game. You know, I mean, I love my Denver Broncos, but when it comes to the Lord, you know, I have to be here to worship. You know, Cowboy fans, you know, I understand, you know, your situation, but you need to be here you need to be here every day. You know, you need to be here every day. But when it comes to spiritual matters and our affections should be focused on heavenly things, not earthly things. Too many times these earthly things be distracting us. And it goes on, it says, for if ye be dead and your life is hidden, for in ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And listen to the next verse. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. And the verse number 5 is a very important verse and following. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul is telling us, put those things to death. Put them to death. See, these are the things, these are the carnal things that set us back. These are the earthly things. These are the crack that people fall into, that people get addicted to. See, they set themselves on these earthly things instead of spiritual matters, instead of heavenly things. See, we should be focused on heavenly and spiritual things, not things of this world. Let's continue to read. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience. So we see that when it comes to these spiritual matters, that our focus need to be focused on heavenly things. Not these carnal things that surround us each and every day. And I understand it. I understand it because we all came from a carnal life. Each and every one of us, before we were Christians, we were all in a carnal life. And it's addictive because we see it all around us. But God, Jesus, has called us out. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so ye have us for example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, who God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, which also we look for for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not from this world. We sing the song all the time, right? We're not from this world. When you are born again, remember, Christ was telling Nicodemus what? How to enter the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The church. Where did the church come from? It came from heaven. That is our citizenship. When you became a Christian, you changed citizenships. You're no longer minding the things of this world. Yes, we have to live in this world, but the world should not be our focus. Our focus should be on spiritual matters, because that is what citizens of the kingdom do. In the last scripture, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 19 through 21. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, with moths, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust or corrupt does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasures is, there your heart is also. So we see that when it comes to the things that we ought to lay up, our treasures, not on earthly things. Now, too many times we focus on earthly things because, again, we're surrounded by earthly things. But God is telling us, and Jesus is telling us, that we need to lay our treasures up in heaven. And you may ask, what about, you know, hey, I got to live, I got to work, I got to do all these things. Well, turn over to the next page in verse number 33. And verse number 33 tells us, God tells us, but seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these earthly things that you're concerned with, that you need to survive, and the things that you need to live here on this earth. He's telling us right here, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. See, we're focusing on the wrong thing. Too many times when we come into a situation where we have to make a decision whether we're going to follow the flesh or follow spiritual matters, we revert right back into carnal and fleshly things. So it's important for us to understand, and that in order for all of this to happen, we need to get off the milk. If we don't grow, then we're going to fall right back into carnality. And if you care about your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because if you don't, then you're showing a sign that you don't care, because you're not growing. Because when you grow, you're helping your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How do I know this? Because when it comes to teachers, I always foot stomp this. We're wearing these teachers out. These are your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're wearing them out. Do you care about them? Again, spiritual things, are you stuck on things of this world? Are you stuck on the milk? Or do you want to grow? Because if you want to grow, then you would care about your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only that, you would care about these little young minds that we have in this class, in this auditorium today. These are going to be our future. So do you care about what happens to the church 10, 15 years from now? Everybody knows, it's apparent. The elders know, the deacons know, the preacher know, and everybody in this room know. If you look around, what do you see? At the average age is probably 60 or 70 years old. Spiritual, carnal. Now, we got members that are younger. Spiritual, carnal. So I wanted to make sure that I've been holding this in my heart for a while. And I wanted everybody to understand that I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to poke anybody in the eye. But this is something that needs to be said. Because we have a lot of great examples in this congregation. We have a lot of elderly people, older people in this congregation that are examples, that have been in the Lord's church for a long time. And still soldiering on. You know, I tell my wife all the time, when I see all of our older members here each and every Sunday, twice on Sunday, here on Wednesday, it encourages me. Reason why is because I know they've been through the fire. They've been through it, and they're still here. It encourages me. It should encourage you, and it should be encouraging to meet people in my generation. So if we have anybody here, maybe you want to be born again. Maybe you have not been born again. Maybe you have not entered into the watery grave of baptism. Well, you can do that tonight. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe, or do you realize that you have been living a wrongful, carnal life and you need to make a change? Well, you need to repent. Do you want to belong and say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Just make that sweet confession. And finally, if you want to be born again, enter the watery grave of baptism. Then you can be born again. Then you can start your journey, your spiritual journey. But maybe we have some in this congregation that have been living by the flesh and want to be back in the spirit and mind spiritual things and be back in fellowship with God. Well, this is your chance to do so as we sing this song of invitation.